What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. World Series continues tonight. Could be the final game of the 2024 season. The Dodgers up 3-0, going for the sweep after another win. Aaron Judge, only one hit in the series. Meanwhile, Freddie Freeman's got multiple home runs, including the big one last Friday night in Game 1, the walk-off Grand Slam. He's been epic. The MVP race has been over since that game for the World Series. I mean, he's going to be the World Series MVP. It's not even close, and there's maybe not been a more deserving one in a long time.
Three home runs in the series and the Grand Slam to win Game 1.
And we're only in Game 4 tonight. It's not like it went 7 either. Even like he's done it in such a short period of time. I think I saw last night during the broadcast, only George Springer has more either postseason or World Series in a season or in a series home run, something like that. Yeah. I messed up the stat, but basically he's one away from tying Springer for, I think it was home runs in a World Series.
I will say Stanton is an incredible postseason performer. Mm-hmm. He hits the ball hard as hell in the playoffs versus Aaron Judge, who's been very bad. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas men's basketball exhibition game tonight against Washburn. I cannot believe that college basketball starts so soon. Yeah. UMKC opens up its season on Monday.
Yeah, November 4th for a
Missouri
lot of...
Missouri plays Memphis on November 4th or 5th. They already had an exhibition game over the weekend. Kansas State has one coming up as well. Yeah, it's that time of... believe it or not, that time of the season already. The calendar's about to turn November.
Are you pumped up for it, Gold? Now the football season's over?
I thought you were talking about UMKC. I am pumped up for that.
I bet you are.
UMKC's a top 25 team. Do you see that? The top 25 mid-market teams. They do a small school, top 25. UMKC, 22.
Put some respect on UMKC's name. All right. Mm-hmm.
Some people who used to work at the station, Ben Heisler, only recently learned that UMKC has one of the best names in the entire country. They got a player named Gob Gob.
Gob Gob?
G-O-B-G-O-B.
Gob Gob.
So are you going to try to...
He's a big, tall guy, too. The Gob Stopper should be his name.
NIL
that man swaps a ball town. Call him the Gob Stopper, and let's just call it a day.
You want to give him some NIL.
Student section has got to pick up on that if there's a student section at these games.
Around Thanksgiving, it should be Gobble Gobble. I mean, come on. There's just a million. There's a million choices here.
As a professor,
names are unlimited.
As a professor at the university, I think you should form.
I got to lead the charge?
You got to lead the charge. You need to form the section.
Yeah, but to answer your question, am I excited? Yeah, big picture, I'm excited for what it could be for the KU basketball season, but not on November or October 29th. October 29th. Yeah, AJ Stewart, even Bill Self acknowledged, is kind of a mess right now. He tried to figure out what aggressive means in Bill Self's system, and so he's kind of thinking too much right now out there. But AJ Stewart in the Jayhawks, yeah. A little bit later on in the year, I'll be way more excited. I'm in football mode. Am I watching the exhibition game tonight? Probably not.
Okay.
I'm going to watch the World Series.
Ichabods? Is that what they are?
Washburn Ichabods.
Nailed it.
There you go.
That was very Mitch Holtz.
One of the most unique.
I did not know that was
a really unique.
Ichabods.
Yeah, really unique mascot.
Nailed it.
Out there in Topeka. Found out my barbecue restaurant I liked out there closed. You know, I've brought up Lonnie Keys before.
They're done?
He sold it a year or two ago, I guess. Someone told me, and then they've closed, which is really disappointing. Lonnie Keys, RIP.
I'm glad he got out, though.
He did.
Made his money and left.
I think so. I assume that's what happened. I don't know. That's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to all 32 in about 8 minutes or so. Also, Nate Taylor coming up in studio in the 1 o'clock hour today, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. It'll be good to get his perspective on wrapping up Raiders Chiefs thoughts and looking ahead to not only the Bucs game, but also if he thinks there's another move on the horizon after the Chiefs made the addition to Uche yesterday. So that's coming up in about 45 minutes or so. But the rest of the AFC and where we're at with this, I mean, the odds will tell you the top three AFC teams to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs plus 450. They're also the Super Bowl favorites. The Ravens plus 650. Then the Bills 11-1. Now, that is much different than the number one seed conversation. We can separate the two. I think the Ravens still should have the second best odds to come out of the AFC. I have no problem with that. Now, if you would disagree, well, then you probably love the Bills at 11-1. But
yes,
from a number one seed perspective, yeah, the Bills have a better chance because they have a head-to-head still, and they're just better positioned because of that. Whereas the Ravens, it's very unlikely they can be the number one seed given the math.
Part of the reason I think the Bills and the Texans should have better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Ravens is they technically can still get the one seed. That is a huge thing for me in an AFC that is primarily dominated by, and pretty much all the way, one team, man, Kansas City. The more road games you're going to have to suffer through, the worse off you are having any chance of getting the AFC. And the Ravens are straight up eliminated from it, in my opinion. Like, 0% chance. They'd have to go 8-1. Kansas City would have to go 6-4. A million other things would have to go right for them, et cetera, et cetera. Just for them to get the one seed. Bills could still do it. They can be only one game back with a tiebreaker with one win a couple of weeks from now. Even if both teams, even if the Chiefs don't continue to, you know, don't lose another game, like don't drop one to the Broncos or anything else in between. The Texans, same thing. If they can continue to get other wins, they'll get a chance to make up one of those games and get the tiebreaker against Kansas City on their own. Those teams, in my opinion, should have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than the Ravens. The Ravens are one of the most talented teams in the AFC. I'm not arguing that. And if you made me just choose based on talent and talent alone, I would probably take the Ravens amongst the Bills. But having a chance for the one seed would make me say you have a better chance right now. Unless you just think the Chiefs are winning the one seed no matter what, and all we're doing is fighting for second place.
Kind of, yes.
Then, yeah, you might just be going for talent.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. I mean, I think the Chiefs are getting the one seed. So after that, I mean, I would still give the Ravens the best chance in that regard. I really don't consider the number one seed conversation to be in doubt much. I mean, the odds would tell you also the Chiefs are minus 290 to be the number one seed. The Bills are 6-1. Texans 7.5. And then, yeah, there's the huge gap. The Ravens are 23-1. The Steelers 25-1. So the books think it's a three-horse race for the number one seed, and even then, it's still in favor of the Chiefs. Now, the AFC, I already gave you the odds on that. The top three teams, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Texans are then 6-1 to win the AFC, go to the Super Bowl. And there's some teams that aren't even in the playoff spot right now that have better odds than current teams, because we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but right now, you've got multiple AFC West teams that would actually be in the playoffs if the season ended today. We'll see if it gets to that point.
Yeah.
The more you see Cincy and some of the other teams lose, like the reality of the Chiefs and Broncos or Chiefs and Chargers or whatever all getting in to the postseason, actually, I mean, it's not that far-fetched, but it's a three-horse race. Weak. The Texans just have to get healthy, much like the Chiefs, for us to see. Drew, you brought the point earlier, like, we maybe still don't really know if the Texans are going to be the factor we all thought they were going to be yet, because they're not healthy. They haven't really beat anybody. And
like Kansas City, they're finding a way to win.
They're finding a way to win, but their toughest games are still ahead of them. I mean, not only do they play Kansas City, but they've got some other challenges down the road
to
as well.
I think it's too far-fetched right now.
We got to find out. Like, we got to find out. By the time they play the Chiefs in December, my guess is I think we're going to say, yeah, they're actually a threat again. In the AFC picture right now, it's hard for me to take them as a huge, huge threat with just what we've watched them when they play. But when they play in December, my guess is the Texans are going to be sitting on 10 wins or something like that, or 11 wins as well. And the Chiefs might be already at 13 wins or 14 wins. And it turns out to be a huge game, a 14 win Chiefs team against a 10 or 11 win Texans team at that point. Cause they play right around Christmas, don't they?
The biggest advantage that the Broncos have in like holding onto that, or the Chargers have in holding on to that spot, is they're playing the last place schedule. The Broncos are, you're going to find out real quick if the Broncos are for real. Do you know their next three games are?
Well, the Chiefs are one of them, but
at Baltimore, at Kansas City, at home against Atlanta.
Well, there you go. They got a chance to prove a lot of people wrong.
So if you want to, you don't have to buy or sell your Broncos stock depending on where you are. All of that will be decided in the marketplace coming up over the next 3 weeks. They also have to go to LA, to Cincinnati, play Kansas City again. Their schedule's a nightmare. So for all other purposes, they're going to be stuck in it. But the AFC, I mean, it's a three-horse race. I'll give Texans the same credit I give Kansas City. I do not think they've looked good. I do not think C.J. Stroud has looked perfect. They have a legitimate defense and a great player in Will Anderson. And eventually, like we talk about in Kansas City, they will and are expected to get Nico Collins back. And the second they get Nico Collins back, I think a lot of their offensive problems are going to be solved.
Yeah, they got some O-line issues, defensive, you know, O-line issues, and they've got a couple linebackers. That's why they're underdogs on Thursday night against the Jets.
That makes no sense.
I think that's the reason why the line is what it is. I think at first glance, we all had the same reaction. And if I ran into Bob, Mac, and Dusty in the hallway right around like about 45 minutes ago or an hour ago, And they are the first thing they asked me, they go, why are the Texans underdogs? And I was like, I get it. Everybody's had the same reaction to
it. We're all just going to pick them in our in-house picking bet.
I think I'm just going to, this would be one of those where I'm just going to completely fade the public, even though I don't believe it.
You're going to bet the Jets?
I think so. Yeah.
I'd rather just not bet.
Well, you're asking me if we're with this hypothetical, we're all required to make a pick.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you need to actually make the bet on that game. No.
That just feels like one of those, like, something's weird, and so I'm just not going to bet.
That's exactly what
sometimes
it is.
The best bet you make is no
short
bet, because you're like, something stinks,
yeah,
and I don't want to be anywhere
that's
near the
saying
weirdness that exists in
it
this.
It doesn't
bet
make a whole lot of sense, but the reasoning possibly would be the Jets are the home team on a short week, the Texans are traveling, they're down. Their top two receivers, their offensive line is bad and banged up. Their two middle linebackers are out. That's the reason why we cannot. If you're so strongly thinking it's crazy that the Texans could lose that game, then bet the Texans. Go right ahead.
It sound, Cody, was like, I'm not, I have to bet on it. I'm going to bet Aaron Rodgers. So I'm just not going to bet. I'm just not going to bet on it.
That's exactly how I feel.
You're not going to bet on your guy?
The one biggest, don't even put that on me. I've been against this whole plan since the beginning. Since the second they traded him, I called it stupid.
I thought that was your guy.
Your boy.
No, not really. The one thing I'll say about Baltimore, and then we can get to all 32 in a minute. Have we under-discussed the fact that the reason why they have three losses and there's a lot of other teams with 2-0 is that their defense is no good?
Not nearly the same level we expect.
They are not good defensively. And unlike what we were just talking about with the Texans, where the hell are the reinforcements coming from? Unless they're trading for them. Kansas City's the most active team in all of the NFL in the trade market, apparently. Baltimore currently ranks 26th in points allowed per game. There is not a single team below them with a winning record who, unless Tampa Bay, is there, are they 4-4? Do they have a winning record?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, fine.
They might be 4-4.
That's the only team who has a winning record below them who's allowing more points per game than them. Jacksonville, Tennessee, Dallas, Carolina, Las Vegas. Losers all across the board. Straight up. All of them. Not a single winning record unless Tampa Bay has one. That's it. So, like, their defense kind of stinks, man.
I know that they were facing Jameis, but the Browns hadn't scored 20 points all season. They scored 29.
Yeah. I'm just saying, the Bills are more balanced. The Bills are a more balanced offense and defense if you rank them on aggregate. The Texans are more balanced if you rank them offense and defense on aggregate. The Ravens had the best offense of those three teams I just listed, but they definitely have the worst defense. So, where's the balance?
All right, all 32. I'm going to actually go to the AFC North and bring up somebody that I think has been given a free pass nationally. Now, maybe in that city and maybe this fan base is like, yeah, we've been there already. But as much as we discuss Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat and maybe getting fired, or Brian Daboll or Doug Peterson, understandably why, I get that. I don't understand why they're being discussed. Zach sure. Taylor in Cincinnati, he's the head coach of Cincy, in case you forgot. Somehow, I think, has gotten a free pass in the coach on the hot seat discussion nationally. I'm sure locally people want him gone. Terrible seasons last two. Yes, injury to Joe Burrow last year. But you're talking about missing the playoffs. I think they're going to miss the playoffs this year. The September starts are a real problem. Like, that is fireable in my own, like, that by itself, in my opinion, is fireable. Super Bowl appearance in 2022. That is the only reason why I think nobody has even brought his name up nationally. That's it, right? That has to be it.
Ancient history. They don't go to the playoffs this year, and it have been two full seasons since they even went to the Super Bowl. What did Doug Peterson, how quick did he get fired after winning it in Philadelphia?
2 years, right?
Right around that same range?
So. I'll be honest. There is one team that would come up with an excuse to keep him around even if they missed the playoffs, and that would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
You're looking at the Dallas Cowboys. They love holding on to coaches.
Look, I would love for Zach Taylor to continue to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Because they went to the Super Bowl. That is, I think that's, they held on to Marvin Lewis when he did not win a playoff game.
But that's because your owner doesn't want to spend any money for guys not to coach because he's cheap.
I will say, I Philadelphia made it 3 full years after winning the Super Bowl. He coached 3 or in the middle of the third
season.
And
that's Philadelphia.
So.
That's not Cincinnati.
I mean, things change quick. We know. Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, was 2 years ago was a genius. Best guy in the league. This guy doesn't get enough respect, and now people are like, he stinks. It's amazing how quickly things. I don't think he suddenly stinks as a play caller.
Tell me this is a resume of a coach who deserves to keep his job without any questions at all. 2-14, last place in the division. 4-11, last place in the division. 10-7, made it to the Super Bowl. 12-4 the following year. lost in the conference title game, 9-8, currently on pace to be a 7-10 team.
The reason why,
like, that is not that. That's not some world beater resume. That's like one really nice year.
He also lost his offensive coordinator this year.
The reason that this year is different to me than the other ones that you mentioned. So 2-14, just took over the team. They were tanking to get Joe Burrow anyways.
It's not Andy Dalton. I mean, Andy Dalton won two games with the Panthers last year.
I know, but they were losing on purpose. They were tanking. 4-11, Joe Burrow tore his ACL. It was his rookie season. Throw that out. Last year, 9-8, he was injured. The 2 years that with Joe Burrow healthy, that's where this year I think is different. Because Joe Burrow is healthy. If they miss the playoffs this year, that should be the final straw. But if anybody knows the Bengals, like I've witnessed over my lifetime, he's going to be the head coach even if they miss the playoffs. And he shouldn't be, but I think that that's just the direction they'd go in.
This is where I don't excuse the coaching thing. So I'll get to my point in all 32 is, a lot like quarterback, you just know when you have the coach. It's not questioning or finding the one good thing they did. It's across the board. Look, I hate to say this because I was wrong. Mike Tomlin, this might be the single greatest coaching job he's ever done. And he managed to keep Antonio Brown quiet for 5 years in the NFL. I can't believe it, but with Justin Fields, a quarterback who was available on the street for $0 and a couple of nickels rubbed together, he started 4-2. He switched to a quarterback who looked miserable last year and has him looking like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, and a 2-0 start for him. He's like the only coach in NFL history I can remember who created his own quarterback controversy in the middle of the season and is still in first place in a division that he was picked to finish last, essentially. Like, explain it.
He's incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible.
It's one of the single greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen through 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It's crazy what Mike Tomlin's doing.
It's incredible. I mean, this is why the fire him stuff from a year or so ago is silly. I mean, the complaint would just be that you're always kind of in this nobody actually thinks they're capable of winning a Super Bowl, do they? And so, like, you're just in this weird spot. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson's taking the Steelers to the Super Bowl, and so they're going to finish with like 12 wins this year and maybe win a playoff game, and then they still don't have the quarterback of the future figured out, and then so Mike Tomlin will get an extension, but they're still just not going to draft high enough to get a quarterback, and so like they're just going to continue living in this world of like, we're going to be like 9 to 11 wins every year. Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach. I would love once again for Mike Tomlin, not in this current era, I guess, with the Chiefs having Mahomes, but like if Mike Tomlin ever did leave and went to the NFC, like if he once again had a top 10 quarterback, I would love to see what he was actually even, you know, capable of doing in terms of in the postseason. I just don't think this team, Pittsburgh, is capable of winning a Super Bowl because Russell Wilson is their quarterback in 2024.
Versus other teams in which this wouldn't really scare me, even if they got it right, because I think they'd bomb it, kind of like the Chargers have done with the first 4 years of Justin Herbert's career. I would hate it if Mike Tomlin got a real quarterback, like a really good one, like even like a Kirk Cousins level quarterback. I'd be like, oh no!
Well, they should have traded.
God,
for.
I don't need.
That's who they should have traded for.
I don't need the Steelers getting that level of quarterback. Mike Tomlin's too good.
Yeah,
that man's going to win 13 games with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
I
don't need him getting a real player. He won 9 games last year with like Mason. Who the hell started for them last year?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. That's old.
Kenny Pickett. Trubisky.
It was those three.
Mason Rudolph on Christmas. Remember, we said, hey, you can't bet against Rudolph on Christmas weekend. And sure enough,
that was one of my single biggest bets.
That was the most annoying week. Because Cody said that at least 4 or 5 times, and then he kicked the Bengals' ass in that game, and it was so frustrating. Anyways, there is another team that has been in quarterback hell before. Didn't work out too well. It's the Colts. They got Anthony Richardson. That hasn't looked too well either, but I know we talked about him a little bit. My grandma called me yesterday.
Your grandma called you about Anthony Richardson?
My grandma called me yesterday, and she goes, have you heard about the Colts? And I was like, what about the Colts? She goes, Anthony Richardson, they hate him here in Indianapolis. I was like, yeah, we talked about it on the show. They are going after him, as you can imagine, in the sports media world. In Indy, players have said, I don't know about it. They don't feel some type of way. They said they're evaluating their options. I don't know if they should bench him. I don't think they should, because at this point, you've made your bed with Anthony Richardson. You got to see what he can do, because there was starting to knock on the door of maybe they give him another year and then that's it, because he's still young and has to figure it out. But he was labeled a project from the beginning. Is it a surprise that he stinks, or He's trying to work through it or play through it, I guess, but it's not looking very good.
He barely played last year.
Then he's taking himself out of the game.
It's like all the things he does wrong are like mechanics and like coaching stuff. Like, just coach him up. That's kind of the job.
He gives
Does your grandma often call you about for your sports takes?
Every now and then she'll call me. She did ask how the Bengals did this weekend. I said, unfortunately, they did not do too well. She goes, oh, that's too bad.
My grandpa will talk to me.
Does she know about your routine with your wardrobe?
I probably will not wear pants.
Does she know about that? Have you talked to her?
No, she doesn't know. she does not know.
What's your grandma? That. Does she do like traditional grandma stuff and send you like a Christmas card with like a 10 in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
She'll do that.
Classic grandma stuff.
My grandma has also called me multiple times about Caitlin. She is the number one Caitlin Clark fan. Dead serious. She never watches a lick of basketball in her life.
She lives in Indiana. Caitlin Clark's great. Yeah. Why not?
Just fired their head coach.
She doesn't watch. That's true. She does not watch a lick of basketball except for Caitlin Clark. And if Caitlin Clark's not on, she wants no part of it.
Man, how old's your grandma? She sounds pretty.
She just turned 91.
That's awesome.
91.
That's awesome. Yeah.
She is all in.
That's awesome.
She loves it.
Love that.
My grandma's 94. He still calls me about sports.
No, hey, both.
He's
of
also
you.
Very negative. He constantly thinks that she's getting ready to go down.
Let me tell you, cherish the fact that she's calling you, man.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, my grandparents on both sides aren't around anymore, so that's awesome.
She's the only grandparent I have left. So yeah, 100%. Yeah,
absolutely. Same. That is all.
Good old 30, Fanny.
All 32 in the NFL. Coming up next, guys, let's talk a little bit more about one thing you want to see in particular from Spags, Cody. Plus, you mentioned Caitlin Clark. There's some news about maybe something coming to Kansas City. We'll explain that next. Back here on Cody and Gold. We'll get into the defense in a second, but a couple bits of breaking news around the NFL, at least, during the break. Drew, you just mentioned Anthony Richardson. Well, during the break, Adam Schefter announcing that a source told him the Colts benching former first-round pick Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. They're going to the vet, Joe Flacco. Coaches apparently met this morning and made the seismic organizational decision to change quarterbacks. And it is a big decision because, obviously, as we said, he's a former first-round pick. And when you make a switch like this, it's kind of, I mean,
you're kind of done with him forever.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what you're supposed to do.
I don't think you can just go back and say he's still your quarterback of the future. They might say that publicly. I just don't buy it anymore. Joe Flacco does give them a better chance to win if we're just having that conversation. Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second. But Joe Flacco is also not a long-term answer. So guess what, guys? We get Sunday Night Football this week. We get Colts Vikings, which is Darnold Flacco. The line has already gone down a half point in favor of the Colts. We were wondering about 2 minutes ago when we looked at the line. Colts were 5.5-point underdogs. They're now 5-point dogs. Flacco's better than Richardson, so this line might come down another half point as well.
He has consistently played better than him, but that's two quarterbacks now who were drafted in the first round that teams have already bailed on inside of 2 years.
They've already quit
on Bryce Young, and they've already quit on Anthony Richardson.
The other bit of news also relates to a conversation we're having about the Texans.
Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs, would he miss a couple games? Well, how about the season? Tom Pelissero saying Stephon Diggs tore his ACL out for the year. They're already down Nico Collins. They'll get him back, but makes you think the Texans are going to have to go make a trade at the deadline, right, guys?
Maybe Tank Dell,
Deontay
and Nico?
Johnson.
I don't know. I mean, probably.
I mean, of course, the Bills trade, the way that all worked out, looks even better now. The injury aside, it was already trending that direction. But Stephon Diggs was on a 1-year deal in Houston, so he'll be a free agent the next time he's available, and going to miss the next half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of market there is for Stephon Diggs in the offseason. But that's a huge blow to a potential contender in the AFC. Never want to see anybody get hurt, but that's also potentially something that could help the Chiefs, I guess, down the road. They're going to play him head-to-head, number one, but also they might play him in the playoffs.
Yeah, it absolutely could help him because obviously it's one less weapon across the board. Now we'll see what happens with the rest of the trade deadline before those decisions are made. But that is massive news on both ends. But the other part about this is always, if you're an NFL team and you got no answer at quarterback, I'd call just to make the trade now just to find out myself. Like if I'm the Raiders, mm-hmm, I'd rather play Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young the rest of the season. Look, they may have made their decision on either of those players, and that's cool with me. But like, if you're one of those teams, you don't know where you're going to draft, you don't have an answer at quarterback, and those guys were former first-round picks. If you had a decent, high, pretty high, whatever, great on them coming out of the draft, I don't know why you wouldn't take a chance that you are better at coaching them up than bad organizations were, you know?
Doesn't it depend on how you think that, like, if you think Anthony Richardson is as good as Cam Ward can be or as Shador can be, then maybe sure you take the flyer. But I wonder if you're like the Raiders and you know
that
you're
behind,
you can
be sure to get those guys. You know, you can just take those guys still anyway.
Sure, but I just wonder, like, if the Raiders, if they're bad enough where they get the third overall pick. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they need to.
I'll be honest. I mean, I also have to question. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence. What Richardson wasn't playing well, I don't think it's a coincidence, though, after a game in which he admitted he took himself out, that the next couple days he gets benched. Like, now he has plenty of time to be rested and he's not tired anymore. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence here.
Yeah.
And as Shefty points out, two of the top three quarterbacks in the 2023 NFL draft have already been benched this season. Carolina, we all know, benched Bryce Young. He's now back. And then Indianapolis just benched Anthony Richardson. The difference is this is happening in week 8. For Richardson, Bryce Young got benched in week 2. We saw a full season of Young last year. We only saw 3 or 4 games of Richardson last year. We've seen 6 games of Richardson this year. We still have only seen like 10, 11 games of Anthony Richardson in the NFL.
Well, I guess
that was always the thing with Anthony Richardson, though, right? Is that when they drafted him, he wasn't, I think the one of the first things that a lot of people said was,
should have started him right away.
Should he not even be playing right now? Because he's not ready. It was always a project pick. I don't think the Colts are quitting on him necessarily as much as, maybe it would lead on to be, I guess.
If I were another team, I would just convince that he's my project behind an aging veteran quarterback. Let's use a team that's stupid by nature, but also should do this. The Jets.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's going to be their quarterback next year, but
Fine. Who cares? I got all the time on Anthony Richardson in the world. I can Jordan Love his ass. I can take all the time in the world I want with him, right? Like, that
within,
doesn't mean,
yeah,
you know,
within reason. I mean,
yes, I understand, but like,
I mean, he's already going to be entering year 3 of his contract next year. So it's really not,
it's really like
a year and a half, but I hear
fine.
You.
But year and a half is long enough to make a decision on a player. That's essentially what they did with Jordan Love. They just gave him one additional year on the contract in order to make a decision. Was that just is this going to end up going down to just one of the single worst quarterback draft classes of all time? Because CJ Stroud, he's too good. Too good to be one of the worst ever. Because he was the other
rookie
guy taken,
of the year.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oof, boy.
So he's the guy that everybody will remember, obviously, but.
Because Will Levis was in that draft, too. I mean, that was a really, really, really bad quarterback draft class.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, like, you know me, I'm team, like, if they just stink, move on. But in a lost season, I don't understand the point. Like, if you're the Panthers, you're in a lost season. There's no point to have Andy Dalton start for you.
Correct.
It's already gone. Find out every conceivable bit of information you can find on Bryce Young. And if he stinks, you just write it off. And if for some reason he shows you a little bit of life, but you're still not convinced, maybe some other team will give you some kind of draft pick compensation. The Colts aren't in a lost season technically.
No, they're 500.
They're still competitive.
They're 500. They're 4-4. And they have a chance to make the playoffs. Obviously, with the way the AFC is set up, they're 2 games back of the Texans, although they just lost to them head to head twice. I think they're actually 3 games back of the Houston Texans. So they're in, really, the Colts, we're talking about a potential wild card team. And Joe Flacco makes them better now. But yeah, they're still not the long term solution anymore. I mean, next year, Joe Flacco, you're not going to next season with Joe Flacco as your starting quarterback.
Right now, the draft order, I guess, again, it can change, of course, but the Raiders, Panthers, Browns, Titans, Jets would be top 5. Of those teams, you can make an argument that all of them need a quarterback. Or could utilize a quarterback for the future. So I don't know. I wonder if you're the Jets, do you make that move or do you just wait and see what happens in the draft? I think, is Bryce Young going to be available during the offseason just as much as he is now, where you just see how the cards fall and where you're drafting? Yeah, I mean, if you're the same thing with the Raiders, do you just wait and see and maybe they're still available in March just as much as they would be now?
Yeah, we'll see how the top 5 shakes up. There's a ton of teams that are tied at 2-6. I mean, once all the tiebreaker stuff gets sorted out and ultimately
we don't know.
I mean, as of right this second, it's actually Carolina, Tennessee, New England, Jets, and Jacksonville at the top 5.
Okay.
So we'll see. I mean, the Raiders most likely we all think will end up with a fifth worst record in football, but
there's
10 teams that are a half a game from being, or a game or a half a game from being the number 1 overall pick.
How many teams next year will need a quarterback that they don't know who their starting quarterback will be at the beginning of the 2025 NFL season? Because that's the most interesting question. Like, will Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young start for a team next year? Panthers don't know who's starting for them next year. Titans don't know. Jets do. Right? I mean, the Jets.
I think Rodgers is supposed to be back. Yeah.
The Raiders
Giants don't know.
The Raiders?
Raiders don't know. Patriots can be Drake May. We're good. Yeah.
Jacksonville does.
Cleveland does.
New Orleans is kind of stuck between either
Rock and Hard
Spencer
place.
Rattler
starting,
or Derek Carr. I mean, but
either way, it's not a drafted quarterback or a guy in the free agency.
Miami
market.
Is 2-5. Now I think they're gonna start winning some games with Tua back, yeah. But they're not drafting a quarterback.
Does Pittsburgh know who they're?
But Pittsburgh is going to be 12 win. I thought we were talking about.
Yeah, we are. Teams at the top of the draft.
Oh, okay, I thought we were just talking in general.
There's only like three quarterbacks even worthy of a first round conversation. Most teams don't even love them. Like if you're one of these teams and you're not gold, like you said, you're 3 wins, you're 2 wins, and you're like, I don't know where the hell I'm going to land in all of this mess. Who's to even say I can get Cam Ward? Who's to say I can even get Shedeur Sanders? Like, if you're the Panthers, you can be pretty sure you're getting one of those two guys. But if you're the Saints or the Raiders or the Browns.
The Saints have lost 6 in a row.
Are we sure, though, that the Panthers aren't, or that the Colts aren't just sticking with their, like, I think Bryce
Young.
They're
going to bench him, go back to him? That's so stupid.
I think
that's
Bryce Young is more likely to be gone than Anthony Richardson, because from the jump, Anthony Richardson was always a project quarterback.
I agree with that.
That you just have to figure out.
So now they're back to turning him into a project?
To me, I just don't think Anthony Richardson would get dealt before. I think Bryce Young is more likely,
I agree with you
to
there,
get dealt.
Yeah. Also, Bryce Young just played way more. You know, he played a full season last year.
And he was the number one overall pick. He played a bunch of games in college where that. His expectations were always through the roof. Anthony Richardson played 6 games in college.
Yeah, this will all get, you know, we've got months and months and months, but it's interesting to see. There's the, what we view from the outside of like, hey, there's a ton of teams we all agree that should upgrade their quarterback, but who actually, like, quote unquote, has to. Let's look at it. I think you have to look at who's the head coach. That impacts decision making. Is it a GM that's on year one of the job? He's got a more wiggle room, or is it a guy that's been there for 5 years and it's time? Like, he has to figure it out. Will they give him a chance? Like Chris Ballard, we all know he was dealt a bad hand when the Andrew Luck retirement happened. We all think he's a pretty good GM, but also he hasn't figured out the quarterback post Andrew Luck. And here they are again. And Joe Flacco is going to be starting to try to take him to a wild card game to lose in wild card weekend or win one game.
Like the Ravens or something.
I think your point, though, Cody, about
meaningless, just lose.
I think your guys' point about going back to the coaching thing. The hey, it's an NFL job. I can do it. I can fix the problem. I think the quarterback situation can be the same. Where if a team is that desperate, I'm going to fix Bryce Young because he's got the talent, and we're going to do it. So they're willing enough to make that trade. Don't know what it would cost, but I think some team, to your point, Cody, is going to need a quarterback, and they might say, you know what, this guy's a former number one overall pick. Maybe we
put
can
him
make
in competition.
Maybe we can do what the Vikings have done with Sam Darnold, and it can click with us like it has.
Yeah, that'll
with
be
Carolina.
That's what's because we all the reason why we talk about what Darnold's doing now, and the reason why we talk about how Baker Mayfield has rejuvenated his career, because they're outliers. Like it's such a, it's amazing. So that's definitely like the poster child, if you will, of. Hey, we're going to make it work. Those are the two examples everybody is going to reference. There's also 100 other examples where the guy just sucks. Like Josh Rosen with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. They at the time they thought he was the real deal. He stunk.
He went somewhere else.
He went somewhere else. He played like 3 games.
Terrible.
The Dolphins, right? Then the Dolphins trade for him, or
he was terrible. I think they just picked him up off the street.
He's out of the league, isn't he? So
this is where if I were the Chiefs, I would be more willing. I know why they do it the way they do it. They're just protecting themselves in case Mahomes to miss 3 or 4 games. They don't want to ever go through a swell where they don't win. But if there's a coach who could fix Anthony Richardson for a 7th-round pick, it's, you know, like in the offseason, not in the middle of the year. Mm-hmm. But if he's just on the street, Bryce Young is on the street, and you could just have him in as your backup quarterback, a guy who started 20 games, his problem is he likes the guys who started like 40 to 80 games. We're like full-blown league starters in this league as his backups. And so, like, he's never really gone that way. But, like, that's just the kind of coach who I think could get the most out of a quarterback like that.
If you look at quarterbacks across the league, too, does Sam Darnold go somewhere else? Because J.J. McCarthy, what happens with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? What happens... Jameis somehow get a job somewhere else?
I think it depends on what's the end story this year for the Vikings. I mean, if Sam Darnold takes him to a Super Bowl, well, then he's back next year. Sorry, J.J. McCarthy.
I think there's no choice. Yeah.
From the injury.
Are they a first round exit? Then maybe it gets interesting. But if Sam Darnold takes him to a NFC title game or a Super Bowl, I know saying that out loud is very weird for me to say that. I get it. But like they're in position.
It's in the cards right now,
to possibly do that, even though they've lost a handful of games here or 2 in a row. So we'll see. I mean, it's just another reminder. I know everybody that's grown up here in Kansas City knows for many, 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 many years, we couldn't find a quarterback here in our town. But man, is it nice just to not have to worry about these QB problems for a while.
It is.
It's really, really nice. Even you and Cincy, Drew, you know, it's nice.
I don't miss the days.
It's just nice not having to worry about that.
Yes.
There's very few teams and fan bases right now. Buffalo and Kansas City and Houston and Cincy. You know, there's a few cities that just are like, oh, we're good.
Detroit.
You know,
not changing quarterbacks right now. Mm-hmm. All is well. You mentioned, by the way, your grandma liking Caitlin Clark. Did you see the rumor last week? Not even a rumor. I mean, just straight up. City leaders and some people from the WNBA expressing interest as Kansas City as a possible expansion team. WNBA is looking to expand, and multiple people inside the WNBA think Kansas City would be ripe for it. Look, I've been asking for an NBA or an NHL team for a very long time. I'd love a WNBA team here. That'd be fun. Fun. The only problem is, do they set it up in a way? I want it to be set up like NHL expansion, where they're just like, you're good right away. You know, because expansion teams, you know, this is in some leagues, dude, it could take you forever to be relevant. I don't have to wait forever for the team in Kansas City to be relevant. I want them to have a chance right away.
Yeah. So I know where, I mean, this is we are in the kind of, I don't know what's the, not golden era, but certainly it's the time frame, whether it's the KC Current or the WNBA, where there is a huge surge in interest in women's sports, more than we've ever
seen. Massive. From viewership, dollars.
More than we've ever seen. Yeah. And it's only going to continue. The same question I would have about the NBA or NHL still applies here. You know, can a city support a third, well, more than a third, but fifth
pro sports team.
Yeah,
pro sports team. They do great with the Current. They do great with sporting over the years. Yeah. Kansas City and the Royals. Yeah,
I just renewed my season tickets for next year for the KC Current. So this is not an anti, like, oh, not supporting. No, I literally have season tickets to the KC Current. I would wonder how much the city would support a WNBA team. I think it's a valid question. I don't have the answer. I would question on a nightly basis. Like, for example, the WNBA finals, ratings were up 100-something%, which is incredible. It still was 1 million people on average. You know what I mean? Like there's numbers, percentages look great, but what's the sustainability of that? I don't know.
I think having Caitlin Clark, and this is the truth, having a mega star that everybody knows will continue, that can lead you for a little while. And I think that's what we saw in the growth in women's college basketball as well, is they had the better stars than they had better name recognition for their stars than the men's teams did last year. But I mean, it just kind of depends.
It's interesting. Like women's
Kansas
soccer,
Kansas City's done such a good job supporting the Current. I would think they could support.
Yeah,
it.
I think so.
Everybody's like, for me, women's soccer is way more entertaining to me personally than watching women's basketball at the professional level. College hoops, the whole Caitlin Clark stuff, this in the tournament was incredible.
You just mean as a product?
As a product, yeah. So that's just me. I tried watching some of the WNBA earlier this season. I gave it even more of a chance because of the Caitlin Clark effect. We talked about that. Would it lead to new viewership? It got me for a couple games this year.
I watched more women's college.
But that was it. It was like a handful of games.
I've never even seen a dribble of a WNBA game, and I've seen some now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is working. The effect is there.
Mm-hmm. I do think the fact that they only play 40 games during the regular season, it's during the summertime. So there's not too many games. There's no real back to backs like that. It doesn't feel like you're having a if you go to games, like you might end up going to, I don't know what the ticket. I mean, sure, tickets are for when the Fever are here. Obviously, it would be nuts. But I think it would be popular. Along the lines of what the Current have done, obviously not, you know, they need to have the success there, but they only play 40 games. So I think you're not going to be oversaturated with too many games going on in a season. It's enough to follow it, get into it for the summertime, and then be done.
See, I just disagree with this. Someone says we have a championship level team. I'm assuming you're talking about the Current.
Yeah.
And no one pays attention. You don't see stickers on cars. You don't see people wearing shirts. I see people
wearing shirts all the time.
KC Current's up all the time.
Yeah.
Their gear is fan. Tad, they get the best.
Safe color schemes.
Best color scheme in the city.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is a great design work.
They've done a really good job with their marketing, and it's been a success. They sold out every game and all that. That is all true. It will be interesting to see. I think there's a real chance we do get a WNBA team.
But they play T-Mobile?
Absolutely.
Just checking.
They would have to.
In the article, I think they mentioned T-Mobile as the spot. I wonder if would them actually getting the WNBA help. I don't think it would land an NBA team or convince you to do that, but I think in terms of that building,
the fan support, how well it does could, you know,
that facility being used in that professional, setting in that environment, as well as the fan base and people getting on board with it, I think would help certainly.
Yeah, if the city really supported that league, I agree with you. I think it would potentially catch the attention of you know, NHL or NBA, et cetera. Mm-hmm. There's some truth to that, but we'll see. It's definitely sounds like there's some traction there for this to happen some at some buzz. Point in the next 2-3 years.
I did like the person said, wait, the Casey Kearns logo is better than the old 610 logo? Yes. Don't even get me started on that logo.
Yes, it is. By the way, Casey Kearns.
Worst in Kansas City history.
Next Saturday, they'll be hosting a playoff game. So there you go. Quarterfinal action in WSL.
You got your normal seats?
I will not be able to go, unfortunately. Oh, I know. Dang. It sucks. I know.
Terrible.
I have the game starts at 11 on a Saturday. I'm on the air till 11. And then the following weekend, when they would potentially host the semifinals, it's my sister's wedding. So no go. If I go again, it'll
should
be the
TVs
chance.
Up?
No, there will not be TVs on. NWSL championship would be the next one I could go to if they get there, because the city is hosting that. Anyway,
still time.
Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
It's actually going to tie in great. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, on the text line, 913-586-7965. You can also hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Like, subscribe. Set an alert over there on YouTube, the Fan 965. That way you know when we're going live, as you can catch us on camera every single day. The question I have for you today is, what is the thing about attending a live sporting event that you enjoy the least? The reason why I'm asking this question is, I'm assuming you've seen the recent stories about Steve Ballmer's new palace built for the Clippers. One of the things he personally was invested in designing and making sure is toilets.
Yeah, there was audio. We have audio of the system for like 2 years
ago. Yeah, this man put in more toilets than any stadium in the rest of the United States. He said he doesn't want anyone waiting in line to use the bathroom. And now that the stadium's out, someone gave a full review over on The Ringer with more than 1,400 toilets in the stadium. Yeah. Is waiting in line for the toilets the thing you like the least? I want to know.
You remember this? This was from March of 2023.
Toilets! 1,106 toilets in urinals! 3 times the NBA average number of toilets in urinals! We do not want people waiting in line. We want them to get back to their damn seats. At the end of the half, before the game.
He was fired up about toilets.
1,400 is what they actually said on. He cut himself short. He had an extra 300 to that number. What's the thing you like the least about attending a live sporting event?
Isn't this obvious? Isn't this one obvious?
It's just traffic?
There isn't obvious.
That's the obvious answer. The deal
waiting
with
traffic. Waiting for the toilet does suck, though. There's a lot of action.
There's two extremely obvious things that are just realities of going to live sporting events. The traffic. And you're paying concession prices, and that beer is all of a sudden double what it should be, or triple.
Quadruple? I don't know. Whatever. I mean, yeah. Good God. I honestly think I would vote for anybody who ran on a party that is only making it illegal to overcharge me at airports or stadiums. There's just no way you need to charge me $19 for a beer to make this profitable. There's got to be a more equitable number.
People are paying it, right? Isn't that the whole
thing? But I'm saying make it illegal.
People are paying it.
I think supply and demand should have a limit. Yeah, but this is a ludicrous.
But it's not a necessity. I'm with you on like things that everybody has to purchase.
But like the airport's even worse. Like,
well, of course, the pricing
I have to travel.
Is, but
I don't have a place
arguing,
to go.
You're asking to cap prices. We're not talking about gasoline. We're not talking about like electricity or something here. We're talking about like it's not a necessity for you to have a beer at a sporting event. If people are going to spend $20 for a beer, they're going to cap the price on it.
From the 913, Lance says that his least favorite thing is the seats in the stadium. Says they're a bit snug for him because he's a little bit bigger. So he says that those don't work at all.
Yep.
Somebody definitely mentioned. Someone said not being able to hear play by play. They really like being able to like. Get the sense of that. You could be the old person with like the earbud.
Oh yeah.
People do that all the time. Oh, yeah. Right? That would be the case.
Someone says the wave. You know that's one thing that drives me crazy. It's not anywhere near the top three on my
Why?
List though. But it's just
people enjoying something.
To me
what
it tells
you
me you're not enjoying the game actually. If you are too busy trying to get the wave started, you're not enjoying the you're bored. If you're at a baseball game, it's the eighth inning and it's 1-0 and you're starting the wave, you're not interested in the product on the field. Anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. It's not top two.
I
or
think
three.
That actually is a fair point.
I don't actually care about the wave.
It doesn't
Let
matter.
People
to me
do
either,
what makes
but
them
I
happy.
Think it's a fair point.
What's a little smile on their face, eh?
I think it's gotta be for me traffic in games that I've been to for the most part. Traffic again. I have not been to a Chiefs game yet, so I haven't. Well, I have not experienced that moment yet. But I would say the prices. I think standing in line for food is a little bit more annoying because it seems like it always takes longer than it really does. The thing that I guess it bothers me a little bit where if you're watching the game, like if you're standing in line at a Royals game, standing in line for a dog, and there's like five to seven people in line or whatever, but it's taking a little bit longer. You're watching the game on the TV and something big happens. I don't want to miss it because I'm there. So that there's been moments where that's happened, and it's annoying. I don't want to see it on the TV. I want to be able to witness it.
That's
so.
Ballmer's thing, you know. Yeah, he doesn't want you standing around waiting to use the bathroom.
Yeah. Someone else said over 913-586-7965, going to their seats. Someone else in their seats, they're playing dumb because they have nosebleed seats. They're trying to get better seats. Yeah, the people that just are sitting in your seats, not because they accidentally are section over. That happens, right? We've all, but where they're like intentionally, they know they're not
just
their
as
seats.
As long as they move right away, whatever. Yeah. Just as long as you're moving along when I come to my seats, we're chill. I don't care.
Yeah, it's just if it's in game though, man, and you got to go to the bathroom, you come back and someone's in your seat. Yeah, that should annoy you.
Oh, if it's in the middle of the game, fine. I thought you were talking about before the game.
Oh, no, before the game is not as problematic.
Also, shouldn't the people around you be protecting your seats a little bit? Making sure?
People aren't paying attention to everybody that's sitting next to them unless it's the same season ticket holder group or whatever.
If something happens, I feel like there's an obligation. Yeah, this person does sit there. Like, if you leave for it to go to
someone still thinks, Drew, by the end of the year, you got to go to a Chiefs game.
They said, is it legal for Drew to have this job and not to have attended a
Chiefs
game?
He's had chances to go.
Yes.
He has a press pass for the whole season. You can join me
Monday.
You can join me Monday night. I will be sitting there. Max gone to a couple as well.
Okay.
You got to make it out.
I'm going to.
There's
go
no
year.
Other game that you have, like. Normally, I get it. You want to watch Red Zone? I get it. There's no other
year.
Game, right? There's not a doubleheader Monday night game. It's just the Chiefs Bucks, isn't it? That's the time to go. Let's go.
Chiefs Bucks. All right.
Somebody says definitely one of the things that's the worst is being in the middle row, where like you got to make everyone move just to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That is like I'll say I very rarely check a ticket to try to avoid that, but when you look down and all of a sudden you're like, oh man,
you want an aisle seat,
dead center. Like there's six on this side, six on this side. You're like, excuse me, I'm sorry.
That actually is underrated. I think
it just sucks. That sucks. I think
that's underrated because I think I unintentionally do that where I don't realize it. I just think I want an aisle seat. Like I want one or two where I'm looking. Okay, 15, 16, where we're good.
There you go. That is the random question of the day. Up next, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, is going to stop by. We'll ask him that stadium question as well. We'll also get his perspective on where this team is at following another move yesterday.